find it from the riverbank, I know where it is.
I know something better.
What's that?
I know what it's going to be.
Where's that?
It will be brought to me and placed at my feet.
You don't know to a certainty. 20 minutes, it could be here.
I do know to a certainty. And you know what's going to happen now, Carson. You should admit your situation. There will be more dignity in it.
You go to hell.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me ask you something. If the rule you followed brought you to this, of what use was the rule?
Do you have any idea how crazy you are?
You mean the nature of this conversation?
I mean the nature of you. You could have the money, Anton.
Hi and welcome everyone to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I am Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is Damien.
And together, we make only three parts of Voltron.
Voltron!
What do you mean Voltron? We are the three amigos,
no,
come on.
What does the Power Ranger thing combine into? Does anybody
I don't remember what the hell it was called.
It was just like a big transformer. I don't know what it was called.
No, the question I have for you, Damon, there was a show which came after Power Rangers, not time-wise, but like years later, and it was something like Teenage or something, and it was basically the same bloody thing.
Oh, I know that, some alien thing. Yeah. Like Teenagers.
Tag 2 Teenage Alien Fighters yes. from Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, shit. TV sucks.
Anyways, moving on.
My ears wasted. No, Damien. I'm not moving on. I want to talk about... tattooed teenage alien fighters from Beverly Hills.
I refuse that topic. I force you to talk about something you've been watching other than the FP.
Alright, so first of all, I've been watching the FP. Movie's still great. Douglas still hasn't seen it. And so until Douglas watches it, I'll come on this program and tell him to watch the FP every week until he does. Which means every week.
Every week.
Forever.
Yes.
Douglas is an ass. I sat down and finally saw the final couple of episodes of The Legend of Korra. And I've decided that Nickelodeon has done something amazing. What they've done is they have slipped in a show that has nothing for children. So that parents... who have children watching Nickelodeon, don't lose their goddamn minds. I don't know which child The Legend of Korra appeals to. Because in order of occurrence, they deal with class warfare, which is always a topic children can relate to. They deal with gender roles. They deal with politics, and so I don't know which child exactly is able to follow this, but it is entertaining. It is probably the best cartoon I've seen in years. It is essentially what Pixar did with Toy Story 3, just in a TV series form. They're very mature topics, they're dealt with really well. And it is a joy to watch. Everybody should watch it, especially Douglas, who hasn't seen it. Have you seen any of the Avatar, Legend of Korra things?
Only in passing.
All right, you should watch. You should watch them. They're pretty, especially
Douglas,
this.
Douglas totally watched the last episode with me when I was back in Jamaica.
that's how much I remember.
Okay. You guys are terrible. The E Network has a new show, I think, or it's been going on for 2 seasons, called Single Ladies, with Stacey Dash and some other black people. This show is the opposite of Legend of Korra, where Legend of Korra is insightful and treats people with an ounce of maturity while still being engaging. Single Ladies is trash. She's trashy. It is the black version. You'll understand soon. It is the black version of Sex in the City. And Sex in the City was always such a good show. I know this from the one episode I saw and that movie, which I saw 20, 30 minutes of. And decided it would be better for me to slip my wrist and bleed out and die than continue watching this. I yielded to my other siblings who wanted to watch the show, and I said, let me give it a try. You know, what's the worst that could happen? If it's bad, I would be right, and if it's good, shock would literally kill me. Turns out it is the kind of bad that you don't expect to see on TV I don't expect to see on TV in 2012. Because there are great shows like Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead, and a myriad of other great shows. And then there's terrible shows, like most of the shows that started this season. And then below that is where Single Ladies lies. Now, I cannot tell you what Single Ladies is about, because it's not about anything. They sleep with hot guys. They talk about clothes. There's gay people sprinkled all about. And then the show ends. It is what's wrong with America and Western civilization as a whole, I think. Shows like this is what gives Bin Laden, you know, and his followers, ammunition. You know, if you watch this, you go, I don't think Western civilization is worth it. I think we've made some missteps. It's pretty bad, and men shouldn't watch it, of course, but women shouldn't watch it either, because it is aggressively bad. Breaking Bad starts back, and so I did what I always do, which is rewatch all of them. And there are some people who complained wrongfully that last season wasn't as good as some of the previous seasons.
I'm sorry, people did what?
To them, I say, rewatch the Face Off episode and stop talking nonsense.
I'm currently still rewatching it, and I've reached where your favorite characters die.
Yeah, if they could bring back those two guys, the show would have been a little better, sure, but, you know. They gave me the Face Off episode, so I can't really complain. It saddens me to no end that this is the final season. I fear that they won't find anything to replace it, which is a valid fear, because most of the shit that we've seen is pretty bad. However, Kevin Bacon is going to be in a TV series. I don't remember the name, but he's going to be in one, which Kevin Bacon is in it, so I'm going to have to watch it. And it's going to be good because he's in it, and he's great. over to movies now. I've seen the FP. Guys, we should all sit down and watch the FP together. I only saw one movie that I will talk about, although I kind of don't want to say anything negative about this movie, because Andrew loves it. He said it was his favorite movie of this year. It stars Michelle Williams and Seth Rogen. And it was oversold to us, Douglas.
I hate you, Damien.
The movie's good, Douglas. Don't get me wrong.
Well, actually,
is it better than Blue Valentine?
No, it is not. I can actually speak to this because I have not watched the full movie,
right.
But I've probably seen, if not 90%, 75% of this film. And actually, you sound like you're a little bit below how much I like this movie. I mean, I'm not at Andrew's level.
Right. Andrew's level is astronomical, and that is part of the reason why I don't really want to talk that negatively about the movie, because I don't want Andrew to think that I set out to hate movies that he likes. That's not the case.
But isn't that true?
I assume the movie would be at least as good as Blue Valentine. No, it isn't.
It's nowhere near Blue Valentine.
But it is not.
But the truth of the matter is, though, if you look for every movie to be at the same level as Blue Valentine, you're going to get disappointed.
If you pitch me a movie and you say that it is your favorite movie and you keep using things that make it sound like it is Blue Valentine-esque, that I'm going to make certain assumptions. He had a whole podcast devoted to this movie, and it sounded pretty awesome.
Wait, sorry, let's say that correctly. Mm-hmm. Andrew had a whole podcast committed to this movie. Mm-hmm. We had nothing to do with Andrew and some hoe.
Hey, I will not have you badmouthing the people who come on this podcast. Right.
No, it's not this podcast.
Your podcast. Yeah. Right. Some Skank and Andrew. That's what you should call the podcast. Andrew and the Skank.
She's a nice lady.
Wait, Damien, speaking of Andrew's cheating ways, have you listened to his podcast about the newsroom? What do you think about it?
It's filthy.
What do you think about his co-host?
It's pretty good.
And the things that they have to say about this television show.
You guys are wrong 90% of the time. At some point, I think you guys are watching a different TV show that I'm not able to see. But it's pretty fun to listen to. It's fun to
hold on.
That wrong together.
Awesome. Have you watched the TV show, by the way? Do you like the TV show?
You are right. The first episode is stronger than the next episode.
Have you seen the third episode?
No, I have not.
You should, because
it goes back up. Good stuff.
Yeah. Third episode is really great.
Yes, sir.
Although,
listening to Sorkin's writing is always fun.
Oh, of course.
It's not bad. It's just the first episode is real strong, and then the second episode was nowhere near. But that's not what we're talking about, Douglas.
What are we talking about?
Andrew's favorite movie of the year, which is not the FP, which I don't understand. Andrew, I wanted to love this movie. I really did. I don't care. It's the best movie of this or any other year, except for Rambo. Andrew, I really did want to love this movie. And you can stop distracting me. I'm going to talk about your movie, whether you like it or not. But I don't think Seth Rogen's performance was anywhere near strong enough. He is not in Michelle Williams' class, and it shows on screen. I do not like the fact that every time Michelle Williams is in a movie like this, she plays a cheating bastard. She's always on the wrong side of this equation. And
she kills your children.
Or that. Or she loses her dog.
she just does depressing things all the time in movies.
Yeah,
she's come a long way since being Velma.
For someone. Yeah, never mind. Andrew, I think you oversold this movie. I think you should go back and watch this movie. It's not It really isn't that good. It's not a bad movie by any means. It's about a 7 out of 10, which is good, but you oversold this movie by a good measure. Sir Douglas, you've been busy this week. You fell in and out of love and then fell out again. And now you're alone. Like the rest of the internet.
Like the rest of the world.
What have you seen?
What have I seen? I have seen a grand total of one new TV show. And the name of that TV show is Line of Duty. It doesn't have very many stars. It's British. Or at least, well, no, I should say it this way. It doesn't have very many stars that I know.
Okay.
We've
seen all of these characters in other British...
Yeah, of course. Right? Of course.
A lot of them were in Luther. There was a couple of them in that show that they were robbing the
Inside Man.
Right? There's right. A couple of them in there. There are people that, well, me and you recognize, but that's because we watch way too much British television.
Yeah. Right. I think the biggest person in this TV show is Saul from Snatch, and this show is amazing. So far, there have been 3 episodes, and so far, I have watched 3 amazing episodes.
How many episodes are we going to get?
I really don't know.
Probably 3.
No. There will be more than 3 based on how the third one ended. But I, you know, British TV, I would say a maximum of 6, more than likely 4. But this show is just stellar. It is what I would probably sell this, just the short version, as the British version of the Chicago Code. And we all know how we revere the Chicago Code. But this show is about... it's a police show, of course. And it really has to do with this... officer being moved, well, I don't know if you want to say forcibly, but he has to change his roles from being a regular police to what they call AC-12, which is kind of like internal affairs for the Brits, and he goes after, or well, he is roped into an investigation where they are going after essentially England's best police officer, and that best police officer is Saul, and shit just ensues, and it engages you, it keeps you there in the moment 100% of the time, and just the things that happen in this show are equal parts of crazy and awesome. And so I would recommend this to both of you guys. Please watch this show is amazing. Can I tell you, I'm actually very surprised that the only reason I know about this TV show is because of the terrorist, the youngster. And for once, he did right. He did good. And that's all I have to say for this week. Andrew?
Okay, so this week, let me just run through all the bad shit so we can get that over with. I saw... American Reunion. By me saying I put it on while I was doing my laundry, so I kind of like half watched while I was walking around my apartment.
Please confirm, American Reunion as in American Pie American Reunion?
Yes, okay. As in the fourth American Pie film, where they're all coming back for their reunion. Earlier this year, I revisited American Pie because I didn't know what to think of it. I felt like I liked it when it first came out, but I was like 12 or 13 at the time, so I was supposed to like those movies, or at least pretend to like those movies, because that's what everyone in high school liked. Stupid ass comedy. The movie was
not
bad.
Not another
movie. Was horrendous.
Movie. That's a really good one.
I've actually never seen that one.
You are so bad at this. That is the only one worth watching. They sat down and they mocked every single one of those shitty teen movies that we had coming out in the late 90s, early 2000s. And they did a stellar job. And Captain America was the lead actor in that. Oh, he's come a long way, guys. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty good.
When I rewatched American Pie, I realized how stupid and infantile all the jokes were in that movie. But for American Reunion, I kind of appreciated the fact that along with the characters, the jokes kind of slightly matured a little bit. I mean, Stifler was still the aggravating, annoying little punk that he is. But the movie was still bad. Let me not pretend that I'm saying good things about this movie. The movie was still bad. Moving on, I also saw Piranha 3DD.
Andrew, wait, did you lose
this
that
is
bet?
All this is
what happened?
And all except for a few, like around three things which I will point out to be FP worthy jokes of it's so bad you kind of have to laugh at it, which is there's a scene in which a guy is having sex with this girl, and you see earlier in this movie that a piranha went up this girl's vagina. So later on, they're having sex, to which he pulls out his penis to see a piranha on his penis.
Oh, of course.
And
I think I saw that in a trailer, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think hilarious. They had it in the trailer. And he cut off his penis, and then the girl goes to the hospital with the guy and says, he cut off his penis because there was something in my vagina. And somehow, the way that line came out just made me laugh. Ving Rhames reappearing in the show. I don't know. I think you guys didn't see the last Piranha. Am I right?
No, well, I didn't watch. That.
So, sadly, I didn't.
Sadly, you didn't. So in the last Piranha, Ving Rhames, the piranhas ate his legs, and you were made to believe he died. Apparently, he didn't. So he comes back in this show with like titanium stubs for legs, and they're taking him to this pool. Piranha 3D. The sequel occurs in a pool, so everyone is dying in a pool. You're saying, why don't you get out of the pool? No, we're going to stay in the pool. And just him with Paul Scheer going, I ain't afraid of no punk ass water, just makes me laugh throughout that movie. And I guess that's kind of it. I thought there were three. I've forgotten whatever the third one was already. That movie is bad. It's not even laughably bad enough to be anywhere near FP conversation or even the last Piranha bad. There is a bit at the end credits when, because David Hasselhoff is a big cameo in this movie. There's a bit of at the end credits where Hasselhoff is kind of like it's making its own new intro to a TV show for Hasselhoff, in which he uses a merman's, what's that thing that mermen use? Trident. And I can't remember what the name of it was, but it came up, and he throws a trident, and it's kind of ridiculous, and that was kind of funny. But that's about it. Nothing else to see in that movie.
Nothing else to see, is it?
I mean, it's only around 75 minutes long. That's the only thing that helps it, if at all.
So you threw away 75 minutes you could have spent staring at paint.
Watching the FP again, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
today I went and I watched Savages, the latest Oliver Stone movie.
The movie is bad.
What's that movie with Common and Alicia Keys and Ray Liotta?
Holy shit. What's that movie?
It's the Smoking Aces of drug movies.
Christ.
I can't remember if Smoking Aces had anything to do with drugs.
No one cares.
Didn't. This is the Smoking Aces of drug movies. The film is bad. I mean, you kind of hope that you will latch on to Benicio del Toro being an evil badass just for the fun of it, but it's not enough. It's bad. All right, so last movie I want to talk about, and it's actually a movie that you guys should actually go and watch. It's a pretty fun movie, is Lockout, starring Guy Pearce, in which he pretty much plays the greatest version of a Kurt Russell character in what I'd like to think of a remake of Escape to New York, except in space. It is a average and mediocre action movie, but Guy Pearce's fantastic, just spot on comedy humor with that character of getting all of the quips in at the right time and making sure that he's that right version of nonchalant action hero makes the movie pretty fun. And Douglas mentioned him earlier, Saul from Snatch is in this movie and he's also cool. Yeah, it's a fun movie. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to go and watch it. And that's about it.
Okay, so you are conned into watching three flaming pieces of shit and okay movie. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yep. Okay, so we've all watched terrible movies this week. Yes. Not a bad idea. None of you stand so tall. Pink moon, and I get you. Oh, it's a pink moon. Yeah, pink moon. Pink, 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 pink. Pink moon. Pink, pink. Let's talk about trailers. Yay, trailers.
So, the first trailer I want us to talk about is called Sleepwalk With Me.
And now the big comedian, Matt Pandapiglio.
Hey, y'all ready to lip sync? I can't hear you. That's my lip sync joke.
So here's what happened. My girlfriend Abby and I moved in together. She's great. And my sister Janet got engaged.
You're next.
Coming your way, baby. Batter up.
And everyone started talking about marriage.
How long have you and Abby been together?
8 years.
I don't remember being so long. That's ridiculous.
And that night,
Abby!
I started walking in my sleep.
There's a jackal in the room.
Come back to bed.
How long has this sleepwalking been going on?
I don't think it's that serious.
As things with my girlfriend got more tense, my sleepwalking got more dangerous.
You did it, Matt. First place.
Thank you!
This is the first time I remember thinking, maybe I should see a doctor. And then I thought, maybe I'll eat dinner. I went with dinner. I've decided I'm...
And the only question I have for Damien is, will it be better than Funny People for you?
Of course it will. It will actually be funny.
I was about to say, didn't Damien not like
exactly.
Funny People?
Yeah. Remember how Funny People was supposed to be about jokes? And then it wasn't? Yeah, this will still be about jokes.
But okay, Damien, in your eyes, because I know I love Funny People,
right,
so this doesn't count to me. This doesn't count to me. But in your eyes, have they ever made a really good movie based around stand-up comedy or a stand-up comedian or stuff like that?
Eddie Murphy from 86 to 92? Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not talking about a movie starring a comedian. Of course they've done that. I'm talking about movies in which the main character is is playing a comedian, even if he is in real life or not.
I don't think so.
I mean, the only movie that I think we should all kind of agree on is Annie Hall.
Douglas, you were saying?
No, I was going to say that I've seen another movie. It wasn't Annie Hall, about stand-ups, and it's kind of like this housewife is becoming a stand-up and goes through the, you know, vetting processes. It's almost like an American Idol, and then there's a final thing. And I think I remember thinking that was an okay movie. But I don't know what it's called. I know it's from like probably the 80s or the early 90s or somewhere around there. But actually, just on the topic of stand-up comedians and things that they've been in, have any of you seen the new trailer or the ad for the new Seinfeld series?
There's
what?
What, no?
There's a new Seinfeld series. It's going to be on the web, though, apparently.
Oh, okay. Well, he's rich enough.
It's called something along the lines of Comedians in Cars with Coffee or something like that. And in the trailer alone, I've seen Ricky Gervais, Larry David, a bunch of other, you know, fairly famous comedians, and it looks to be that it's going to be some sort of, well, it seems like it could be an interview show, but at the same time you see them in cars and you see them doing other things, so I'm not 100% sure what this show is going to be, but I don't know, I just wondered what you guys had thought about it, if you had seen the trailer, but I guess not.
I haven't seen it at all, no.
Chris Rock was in.
I think
it
comes out sometime the 16th of this month, so it starts fairly soon.
Chris Rock was in Down to Earth, and that movie was playing a comedian, but that movie wasn't very good.
It wasn't very
funny. I forgot he was a comedian.
Tiger Woods joke, which was okay.
I actually didn't mind that movie.
We saw it a long time ago, but it's not very good.
That movie was a remake of Warren Beatty's film.
I hadn't seen that either.
Which is of the same name.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being a comedian, Warren Beatty was a football player. He was a quarterback. But it was the same formula, the same premise. He almost dies, but does die because somebody fucked up and pulled him too early.
Right.
And so they have to find him a new body. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember thinking that was one of Chris Rock's few movies where
Chris Rock cannot screw
the pooch completely.
He can't act. And going back and watching any of his movies now, that is apparent. He's really bad at acting. Bad Company was a travesty.
Wow.
Because
Can you please stop bringing up that movie?
You can't act.
Do you know what I saw the other day with him in it? Lethal Weapon 4.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that helped.
Oh.
Yep. Putting in Chris Rock. Putting in Jet Li was a good idea. Chris Rock, not so much. What on earth are we talking? Right, Mike Burbiglia.
We're talking about Damien's favorite comedians.
Mike Burbiglia, Sleepwalk With Me. I was railroaded by Andrew. I've seen the stand-up special by the same name, and it was pretty funny. And they're just making that into a movie, which won't be as funny. Because there's concessions that you have to make when making a movie that you don't have to when doing a stand-up special. But they'll have a lot of the same beats. You can see that from in the trailer, which is pretty good. I'll enjoy, you know, seeing... I mean, I saw the stand-up special, but I'll enjoy seeing it in movie form and hearing some of those jokes again. Hopefully he does some clever things with some of the jokes. My only issue is he is directing it, and it's a production with This American Life. And so in terms of actual film pedigree, there is none. So that might work against it, or it might work for it, because they won't have any of the hang-ups that a traditional filmmaker will have. So I'm definitely looking forward to it, but that's more my bias because I love Mike Birbiglia as a stand-up comedian. And I enjoyed this special, which the movie is based off. So I can't wait to see it. I've been looking forward to... Because I heard about this a long time ago. I was looking forward to seeing a trailer. And the trailer looks fine. And so I'll watch it and hopefully enjoy this movie. Andrew, did you enjoy this?
I found the trailer kind of weird at first. Because, I mean, I think it has to do a lot with the idea of the character based on how I'm reading into the trailer, because at one point in the trailer you see who I guess is the father character telling Birbiglia about how you say you want to be a comedian but you never really do it. And that's how I view a lot of the stand-up jokes that we see in the trailer, where he's talking about, like, that's my lip-sync joke. I'm like, too many of those boring... Those jokes just fall flat, and I get it. It's a joke saying this is a bad joke. We laugh at it being a bad joke, and I kind of worry about that. I mean, I'm not that familiar with his stand up. I will be by next week, but And the funny part about it is when I see certain things in the trailer, like him talking about I'm still at dinner, like that kind of joke, that I find funny, and that's what gives me hope for the rest of the movie. I did find it curious when I saw the This American Life production, because I'm like, are they talking about the podcast, the NPR thing? I'm like, oh wow, I didn't think they'd reach this big. Like, those bastards are cheating again. Is there anything they don't do well? And hopefully they do this well, because I hope that this is a really funny movie. But at the same time, I hope that I'll still be able to say Funny People is better, because I like that movie a lot.
Douglas.
What did I think of this trailer?
Yes.
I thought it was funny.
That helps.
And that's all I really need to think for a trailer of a comedy.
Not if you're Andrew.
No, not if I'm Andrew? Mm-mm. Okay. No, I thought...
Because he prefers the comedies without the laughter.
Without the laughter, yes. Okay. But no, this trailer was really funny, and so I am looking forward to when this movie comes out. I just hope that I don't forget about it. But I'm sure, seeing as Damien is a big Birbiglia fan, yes, that he will ensure that I watch this post-haste.
Okay, Damien, since you say you knew about this movie beforehand, I seen the trailer. Mark Maron, who I know from the podcast, and I see David Wayne, who I know as a director and writer of big movies.
An actor, in the sense that he's also a comedian.
He was
definitely the third person in Stella, and well, you know, Michael and Michael are probably the better known Stellaites. I don't know what to say.
Stellaites.
but David Wayne is definitely the third part of Stella, and he was also in Wet Hot American Summer. Just off the top of my head, those are things that he's been in. And so he's definitely not just behind the scenes, but in front of the camera as well.
Oh, okay. Well, Damien, are there any other big comedian names that you know to be in this movie or part of this movie?
Not that most people would know.
I look to you, because I know you know a lot of the people that no one knows, so...
Right. I mean, there's people in there, but they're not going to be paying... totally about that. they're not... He just had comedians come in and, you know, play, like, bit parts. Because, you know, comedians, and they like to stick together, and there's no point having, like, getting big-name actors to play small roles in this kind of off-the-beaten-path comedy that My Bear Bigley and the people at This American Life have come up with. So, like, you saw Mark Maron, you saw the girl from... Well, she's now in 30 Rock.
She's Kristen... Something, right? Yes. A weird last name. I can't remember her last name.
And, goddamn, the black guy from The Daily Show. I keep forgetting his name. Something. And he had a stand-up special with it. It was pretty good. Where he talked about nigger cats, which was amazing. So, yeah, there's a lot of lesser-known comedians in it, but the reason I want to see it is to see I just want to see the movie version of Sleepwalk with Me. It should be pretty good.
I think we should have a game where we see how often Wyatt we can Cynac, somewhat stumble into seeing Birbiglia.
Birbiglia. Blah, 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 blah.
Alright, anyways, the other trailer I wanted us to talk about was the trailer for the latest Sam Raimi film, Oz the Great and Powerful, basically the prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Step this way! See the most wondrous sights imaginable!
Kansas is full of good men. I don't want to be a good man. I want to be a great one.
Um, Douglas, what did you think of this trailer?
Yes, Douglas.
This trailer was... I really couldn't tell you. It's a little bit interesting, I guess. I was surprised. Well, I have to at least put it out there that I knew nothing about this movie beforehand, other than the fact that it was being made and that it was Sam Raimi behind it. So, first things first, Sam Raimi is a big enough name to pull me and watch his movie, no matter who is in it, what it's about, or
Disco
how bad
Santa.
It looks.
Exactly. Disco
Santa. Now, Damien is making reference to Disco Santa.
Disco Santa.
That is yet another good point about this movie. James Franco is clearly the star of this movie. And I have learned that while he may be unreliable,
lunatic, yes,
but he is still a great actor, a great funny man when he wants to be. He can do whatever he wants to do as long as he's actually in his right mind at the time. So that's another plus.
Michelle Williams
is in this movie. So that's another three or four pluses.
Rachel Weisz.
So, I mean, this movie just has star power out the wazoo.
That trailer is still not very
the
good.
The trailer itself, as Damien is prompting me to say, mm-hmm. is not that great.
Stop beating around the bush, young man. Let's get to the point.
But it did its job because it told me that a movie directed by Sam Raimi and starring a bunch of people that I like is going to come out very soon. So I have to watch it.
Douglas, that's not a good enough reason to watch and like a trailer, is it?
I didn't say I like the trailer.
We've never done that before.
Of course not.
We cannot, Douglas, we cannot start breaking tradition. We have to rate trailers based on their merit and stop bringing in external factors. The trailer wasn't good, Douglas, so we should not watch this.
So, Damien,
no?
What did you think of this trailer then?
The trailer wasn't very good. It really wasn't. It felt kind of cynical. What they did was, because Alice in Wonderland made a boatload of money, they led with that. They went from the original Spider-Man trilogy director, and then the trailer looked like an updated version of Alice in Wonderland, and then they put in big fonts from the producer of Alice in Wonderland. Now, while that movie made a boatload of money, there was an immense backlash on that movie because the movie really was not very good. But Disney doesn't care. Disney is leading with what it thinks is the most important. You
Damien,
guys spent a lot of money
that...
watching Alice. So now you're going to come and watch us because it's the same producers. Now, I don't know what the producer's job is in terms of directing and cinematography and acting. But the producers have no names. They go by the producers who gave us Alice in Wonderland. I have a lot of hope for this movie, but none of it is based on this trailer. Zero. In fact, if the trailer was all I had to go by, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But as Douglas said, and as we keep doing in this program, which is a bad habit, but it pays off about 30% of the time. Most of the time we're wrong. We go into this thing hoping for the best and get murked. But, you know, the 30% is good enough. We're creatures of habit. No matter how stupid the habit. But Sam Raimi, yes. James Franco, yes. Williams, so on and so forth. And Sam Raimi, when he's on his game, is fantastic. And when he's off, you get Spider-Man 3. So I'll take something in the middle and hope that this movie is far superior to Alice in Wonderland. Andrew, you were saying...
First of all, I take offense. I can't remember what you said about Disney, mm-hmm. but that's offending.
Mm-hmm.
Disney, I trust. They're nice people. They don't just want my money. I mean, they totally didn't just give me John Carter earlier this year.
Holy shit. They also gave us our Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us Avengers. Sort of. Let's sort of give us Avengers.
And I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, Taylor Kitsch was in Savages. He's in so many shit movies this year. Anyways. Right, this trailer, Oz. I don't like it. I mean, other than the first, like, well, I think it's around 30 seconds because this trailer is only about a minute and a half, which right. is in black and white of bits. Introducing the character of Oz as being this magician. That's kind of interesting, but I'm pretty sure that will take up our own.
His name is not Oz.
Well, Oz isn't really a person in Wizard of Oz. He's this mythical creature who is, well, not even creature, this mythical thing which is out there, and then they find out it's this man. So he becomes Oz, is what I'm
wizard.
Imagining.
He's the wizard.
He's the wizard.
Oh,
and since the place is called Oz.
Right, the place
they
is called Oz.
Him the Wizard
he
of
is
Oz.
The wizard.
Then why is this trailer called Oz? The Great
because
and Powerful.
That's where he goes.
She said it. You're in Oz.
I'm going to keep calling him Oz anyways.
Yeah, you should. You should. We're going to keep laughing at you.
That stuff is interesting, but I'm really going to say the same thing you guys said. Putting on to the Alice in Wonderland stuff is not so much a producer thing, but it just looks exactly like Alice in Wonderland looked trailer-wise and such.
The producers produced it, right? That's
how
it works.
It's... And the thing about Sam Raimi is I agree with you, Damien. However, Sam Raimi is mostly on his game, like 90% of the time when he's living in the world of Sam Raimi movies, which is all about practical effects and doing everything like a 70s horror movie or something where we have to realize how cool it is that he got a creature to do this. But that is not this movie. This movie is going to be 3,000% CGI, and I fear. I have deep fears.
Andrew,
for
one
that.
Thing that I'd say to that is his biggest movies to date,
mm-hmm.
Spider-Man,
Spider-Pig,
and Spider-Man 2, and
Spider-Man
3,
mm-hmm.
yes,
were very heavy with computer-generated effects.
That CGI. It is true that the Spider-Man movies had a lot of CGI. However, he still kept a lot of his sensibilities in the practical effects. If you look at that first Spider-Man movie with Willem Dafoe in the Goblin outfit for all of the while, a lot of the Spider-Man scenes, I mean, most of them, you could see that they were really filming Tobey Maguire, whoever was supposed to be in the Spider-Man suit. Or the Hobgoblin, that in movies today, even in the new Spider-Man movie, you'll see that they will cut to a CG animation because they didn't want to risk the actors in getting them hurt. And it shows sometimes in the fact that you will look at it and you'll be like, that stunt looks kind of lame because they knew they couldn't throw Willem Dafoe 3,000 feet out of the air. But you kind of get a little bit of... a little sense of reality in the fact that you're seeing a real person, a real outfit, as opposed to a CGI character. And
I hate to be the one to keep continuing this argument, but what in this trailer makes you think that he doesn't do that in scenes that aren't in this trailer?
Well, because all I have is this trailer.
The producers of Alice in Wonderland.
But that's the thing, right? I mean, I agree with you that a lot of his trailer was very, very CG'd up. But you can't have... There's no way that you'll have a movie unless it is a computer animated movie that is 100% CG. And so I would imagine that since this is Sam Raimi...
You're arguing for arguing's sake.
Of course I am. But since it's Sam Raimi, that it wouldn't... You know, Sam Raimi wouldn't just become this other person. I mean, I saw his last big movie, which was Spit. What
Drag
was it?
Me
Hell?
To Hell?
Drag Me to Hell. And
Spit.
I was thinking of Spit on the Grave, but I knew that wasn't it, which is why I stopped myself. But that had a bit of CG as well. And as you said, kept
That tornado was all practical effects.
It was, yeah.
It took out the light in like 3 states, but he got the shot. He got the shot he needed. I don't know how he generated the tornado. Well, it's Disney. Disney has that
he
kind
just
of
had money. He had a bunch of fans all lined up in a circle.
If anybody could do it, Disney could probably get it done.
Right. So yeah, maybe I'm unfounded. Maybe we'll watch a movie and we'll see James Franco is just being James Franco for the whole movie.
Son,
and
we all agree
no
that this trailer is bad enough.
But before we move on into the movie, I wanted to talk about something. Last week when I talked about Brave, I forgot to mention the fact that when I saw, and it's kind of why before the podcast I had asked you guys if you had seen Brave, and it sounds like you neither of you have seen it yet. Douglas?
Nope.
No, I never.
It was sold out. I was so amazed.
No. Yeah,
I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, when I went to see
I'm
the movie,
I'm just not worried about it. It's like, yeah, whatever.
I don't want to know your excuses. No, I just want to know the facts. I got to see the trailer for The Life of Pi in front of Brave. And I know this is one of those trailers which they're actually refusing to put it online and they're only putting it in theaters. At least for now. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that later on it's going to come online.
I'm pretty sure I can find it right now.
And it's a fantastic teaser trailer. I don't know if you guys know about this movie. Yes, no?
No. No,
it's,
I haven't heard of it.
And I'm not going to say that name because it's going to ruin it for Damon immediately. It's a new movie coming out based on a book. And it's the story of this guy who is on a boat with a tiger.
Okay.
And
it sounds good.
And it's about him surviving this journey and doing all of these things. And now I'm going to say the name so that Damon will never watch this movie. It's a new movie coming out later this year by Ang Lee.
Oh, Ang Lee. Okay.
And he did make a good movie once.
I'm very interested.
Stroll down, young man. And people.
Gerard Depardieu?
Okay.
Really?
As Frenchman, racist.
I'm very interested in this movie, and this trailer looks fantastic. It was shot in 3D, and the 3D in the trailer looked brilliant. I can't wait to see it. But there's this thing that I've kind of noticed, maybe it's about myself, but I don't know about you guys, in that trailers, especially these ones that we talk about during the podcast, which come online, I would like for the ones I really love, I'll download the HD version and I'll have it and I'll watch it over and over and I'll watch it 30 times. But there's something about going and seeing the trailer in the theater, because nowadays when I go to the theater and I see the trailers, I'll be like, oh, that one, and I'll put back in my headphones and I'll stop watching it because I don't want to. I can't bother sit down and watch a trailer anymore. Anything right to say to that?
Taking Woodstock, Lost Caution, Brokeback Mountain, a pass, Hulk. Oh, yes. His last couple of years have been nothing short of spectacular, guys. So, yeah, it's Crouching Tiger.
He has Crouching Tiger. He has Brokeback. Brokeback was amazing, my friend.
He has Crouching Tiger.
There's Brokeback. Also the Ice Storm. You guys need to watch that movie.
Right. So he has Crouching Tiger. Yes, but do you see the sea?
Oh,
do you see it?
The sea is
the
there.
The sea
Uh-oh.
Is prominent.
Uh-oh.
Criterion says you need to watch this. Sigourney Weaver?
Elijah Wood?
Tobey Maguire? Holy shit. This might actually be good.
Once you've seen what they've been to when the earth just won't seem worth a night or a day. Well, yeah, what I say. Look around, you find the ground is not so far from where you are. Don't be too wise. For down below they never grow, they're always tired and charms are hired. From out of their eyes, never a surprise.
어느 날 그 친구에게 심부름을 하나 시켰는데 사소하게 생각했었던지 실수를 저질렀어요. 근데 그 친구 분위기가 이상한 거예요. 끝까지 자신의 잘못을 인정하지 않는 겁니다. 간단하게 끝날 일인데 그 친구 손목 하나가 날아갔어요.
사과해라. 그럼 아무 일도 일어나지 않는다.
Right, so we've talked about both trailers. I will lead into our discussion.
Wow, okay.
Of A Bittersweet Life. Now, my friend Douglas here talked a giant game last week. We said for the two people, I mean the 2 billion people, 306, that listen to the podcast. Douglas said, we are in a bit of a rut. We've been watching shit movies for about a month now. And Douglas said, I will rescue you. I'll put the podcast on my back. I will take us out of this rut. I'll save you all. And for about 2 days, I was hopeful. I went, well, Douglas is going to put some effort into this. And what I'll get is a great movie. But
that was good. Douglas put effort
and
into
I should
it.
Have known this was proven incorrect. Douglas, being a cynical and lazy asshole, did what Douglas, which I thought Douglas was not going to do. Douglas said, what is the best Korean film we've seen in the past 2 years? I saw The Devil. Great. Let me click the director's name. And then Douglas proceeded to pick A Bittersweet Life, which in itself is not a bad plan, except for the fact that we were watching, for a good 2 months, we watched about 4 Korean movies. And so Douglas didn't think for a second, hey, maybe one of my 2 co-hosts would have beat me to this. Maybe they would have clicked on the director's link. You know, maybe Damien, who fell in love with I Saw the Devil, would have gone back and taken a glimpse, you know, a gander at this director's older movies.
Damien, I say your logic is wrong right now, because me knowing you, I would have known you to just have watched the FP 20 more times.
Right. I not only have seen this movie before, but I neglected to speak about this movie because I didn't want anyone to watch this movie after watching I Saw the Devil, because it is unfair to the director. I wanted everyone to keep that glimmering diamond in their eye whenever they think of him, and not the good, the bad, the weird, or this movie. Only to see 2 days later, Douglas, Bittersweet Life, when this son of a bitch. Now, let me not bury the lead here. This movie is not, it's not great. It is not bad. It is not bad. The problem is, the movie is not great. Now, most directors won't have this problem, of course. But then most directors didn't direct I Saw the Devil. No, we can't expect everybody to be Chris Nolan. It is unfair. What we should expect, though, is for the man who directed I Saw the Devil to be better than this. The movie does not excel at anything. It is good at everything, but there's nothing that pushes the movie from being an okay movie that you can watch once to one of the greatest revenge movies of all time. And it is good to see that he was able to go from this to Good, the Bad, and the Weird, which is almost a travesty, and then somehow end up at I Saw the Devil, which is still to this day amazing. The movie is about a crime family, and one of their enforcers is told to do a job. His job is to protect this young girl who happens
well,
to be...
Well, not quite protect. To, his job is to make sure she's not
banging anybody.
And
right?
If she is, just kill
to her. To murder her. And of course, he fails to do this because the girl is so beautiful, according to the movie.
Oh, I thought it was because she played the cello.
Or whatever. And of course he doesn't, and bad things happen. They try to kill him, and he seeks, what's the word I'm looking for? Starts with an R. Repercussions? No.
Ramifications?
No.
Rascals?
Yes! He seeks rascals. He sets out... He sets out To Rascal is probably and Rascal he did. And in the process of this Rascal, bad things happened. Nope. Alright. This is not a revenge movie, it is a Rascal movie. And it is mediocre Rascal. I've seen better Rascal. I was hoping against hope for better Rasclat. Sadly, it did not live up to its Rasclat heritage. Alright, this podcast is over. This has been our new podcast.
I'm sorry.
Bittersweet Life is, as I mentioned before, about revenge, and it does not live up to, well, which is kind of unfair because this movie was made before I saw The Devil. It did not live up to what I had hoped it was, and I am very sad that Douglas took the easy way out and picked this movie because of sheer laziness. He didn't try at all. He did what we all thought he would do, and it's not as good. And I really didn't want you guys to ever watch this movie. I wanted everyone who saw I Saw the Devil to just enjoy that movie. And I saw this movie at a time where I was determined that where I decided that Korean movies were the way forward, and it ended up with me watching South Korean romantic comedies, which, guys, if you think all romantic comedies are horrible, you have not seen the depths.
And you know what's funny, right, is to tell you the truth, honestly, mm-hmm. I didn't even know that the same guy directed those two movies. I went online, and the amount of praise that this movie gets is
staggering.
to you know, ask for another word, phenomenal. This is apparently one of the best revenge movies ever, and I don't quite understand why, because in my mind the movie I saw wasn't a revenge movie, really. Honestly, this movie was very good on all the technicals. It was beautiful. Even the way you see the colors kind of merge and meld together, mm-hmm. that was fantastic.
I think they do him clicking on and off
the light. The on and off the light thing was kind of cool. There were a lot of good things about this movie. It's just that the actual story itself just wasn't there. It wasn't to the level that it needed to be.
And then, I mean, you can... You can fall off in story if the action is going to, like, fill the void.
But it doesn't.
But the action didn't.
It doesn't. The thing about this movie, and while I was watching it, I got this. Well, first off, I really wanted to like this movie, and so for a long time I was there. But first of all, it's a very long movie. I think it's over 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
and there just got to a point where finally I started looking at my watch and I was just thinking, when is this going to end, or when is this going to get good? One or the two, please. Because this movie looks...
I could be watching the extended cut of Margaret.
No, I didn't quite think that. This movie looks too good to not be good. And that was a travesty in itself. But I think, for me, the main reason I think this movie failed at what it tried to do was that if you look at the big movies that we've watched, the big movies that we love, I Saw the Devil, The Chaser, what was it?
Man from Nowhere.
Man from Nowhere. Mm-hmm. What you see in all of those movies, and all of the movies that get this right, is that there is a strong emotional reaction to whatever the wrong that has been done, and that never happened here.
And they failed to manipulate us. It's the same thing that Haywire got wrong. We know we're being manipulated, but you still need it. You need to be invested in why these people have to die at the back end of the movie.
Right.
If that's not there, then you just find yourself kind of meandering through him murdering these people.
And that's exactly what happened in this movie.
Yeah, you're going to murder them, but I don't know why.
This movie...
You could have just left town and
All it was is these people turned against him. And you don't even understand fully why they turned against him so hard. He doesn't even understand fully why they turned against him
so hard. By the end of the movie, no one understands.
Right. And by the end of the movie, there is this new... weird person.
Let us not talk about that. Let's just ignore that.
But this movie, I think it's better than a lot of films, but at the same time I am extremely sad, because for me this was an utter and complete failure, because it was so good technically but so bad otherwise. Andrew, what do you think of this?
So, I started watching this movie last night, and I made the horrible mistake of trying to watch a subtitled movie while I was tired.
Never
do it. I mean, I do it sometimes with movies that I've seen before, and I can just like pay attention to what's going on as opposed to reading the actual dialogue. Especially movies in English, I can do that, but not with subtitle movies that you've never seen before. It's a bad idea. And I blamed that at first, saying maybe I was just too tired and I didn't realize what was going on. I was going in and out of sleep during the movie. Maybe it was just I was tired. So I tried to watch it again today, and I got through the movie, and it's just bad. It's not good. So Douglas trying to take us out of our rut has inadvertently kept us in the rut. And I'd like to say has taken us deeper into the rut. Damien said it, you kind of hope for a movie like this in which the story isn't really working out for you, that the action will fill the void. The action in this movie is kind of non-existent. When there is an action scene, there's one early on where you see him go into the... what you can believe is a drinking room with these guys who refuse to leave, and he starts out that same thing that we've seen in all of these Korean movies that we love so far, where he, looking unassuming, makes a ultimatum to these obvious gangsters and says, look guys, you have to leave now, you have 3 seconds or shit's going to go down. And you're like, yes, it's about to start, we're going to get into loving action goodness. And it's a relatively okay scene in the fact that for around 45 seconds of that scene, we're seeing some like martial arts action goodness. But the way that the camera is used during those scenes, it kind of never really even highlights that action very well. I don't know if you guys agree with that. And then towards the second half of the movie, when we get into a lot more gun action, it's boring, to be quite clear. The movie just isn't that good, and you guys are right, the revenge isn't even that special, because even when we get to the end of the movie where he is getting his, or I should say Rasklat, the scene where he confronts the guy, it's very much like, just shoot him, we don't care anymore, just shoot him. Like, you guys complained about Haywire with the scene with Ewan McGregor, in the fact that you just didn't care. I finally had that feeling with this movie, and I'm sorry if this is how you felt during Haywire. It's not a good movie. Like, even before the podcast, you guys were making a note. I couldn't remember the name of the movie. But I do see... I am kind of happy that I watched it, in the fact that I see the progression of this director to eventually get into I Saw the Devil. Because I've seen The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. And I didn't quite like that movie, but I saw the style, and I saw the character dialogue quips that we enjoy in movies, and all of those stuff, but it didn't quite work together. And then, of course, we got I Saw the Devil, which we all love. That movie is fantastic. But yeah, this movie is not good at all. I'm actually surprised Douglas didn't pick Good, the Bad, and the Weird, because I don't think he's seen that one. Have you?
I haven't, but I know enough not to pick that movie.
Because I remember when the trailer for that movie came out, I was just couldn't wait to see it, which is how I ended up watching it. So I don't know what else to say about this movie. The cello wasn't even that good. I'll go that far. Just because.
Don't worry,
guys. I'm getting angry at this movie now.
I will take us out of this rut. I, Damian White, will Superman this shit.
You're not allowed to pick the FP
and save it. No shit, I'm not allowed to pick the FP.
I will save myself by going and watching The Brothers Grimm again now.
The FP, son.
And on that note, everyone, it's time to say goodnight. You can follow Damian at Damian White on Twitter or his fake alter ego at Soccer Jersey, because we need to promote him. We need to.
Yes, we should.
Douglas is at DJ I Lost His Name. He also pretends to write for MashBits.com. I don't know if he's pretending anymore. I'm at Gman Reviews on Twitter. You can follow the website on gmanreviews.com, where you'll find a podcast. You can also listen to my other podcast, Navigating the Newsroom, over at Film Geek Radio. Damian says we're funny. I'll take that for what it means, or at least what I think it means. I'm pretty sure I'm wrong anyways. So yeah, go ahead and do that. Thanks for listening.
Lifting a mask from a local clown, feeling down like him, seeing the light in a station bar and traveling far and thin, sailing downstairs to the northern line, watching the shine of the shoes, hearing the trials of the people there, who's to care if you